Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, April 28th, 2017. And it's kind of a rant day. Again, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, we know what's coming. Those who listen to this broadcast, this network, that believe the Bible know. I mean, you know, for example, you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and you find these words. You should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are preserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." And it's interesting to note that, skipping forward to verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" And while that's the case, we see technocrats hastening to create a basically a rocket ship to escape this, really, you know, trying to put information and download their consciousness into a time capsule, essentially, to escape the fire that will consume the elements. It seems, I mean, that's my conjecture, but I'll tell you what, bad guys are working on technology in ways that are fascinating, and it's interesting how the digital race sort of parallels many things in creation, if you will. But also, you know, speaking of the times that we live in, 2 Timothy chapter 3, realize this, that in the last days, again, last days, difficult times will come, for men will be, as I've mentioned previously, I think in either this week or last week, recently, tell me if this doesn't sound like America these days, for men will be lovers of self, again, Time 2006 Person of the Year, you. Selfie is now a recognized word, which is ridiculous. Narcissism is rampant. Sociopathy is rampant. People are, you know, in the fashion that Marshall McLuhan pointed out, medium is the message, completely self-absorbed these days. "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money." Look at the present presidential administration. "Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents." Have you seen kids lately? I just don't understand how they don't get flogged by parents or even casual bystanders. "Disobedient to parents, ungrateful." And really, as I have said in the past, you know, speaking of disobedient to parents, whose fault is that? "Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it." It's the parents' responsibility. They are a little lump of clay, so to speak, and it is our job as parents, our responsibility to shape them, mold them. So that's why I've said repeatedly, I've thought about starting the website spanktheparents.com, because parents, in many cases these days, should probably be spanked first. "Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And that power, by the way, is dunamis. It's the Greek root that we get dynamite from. Although they have holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. It's spiritual dynamite, so to speak. The Bible says, avoid such men as these. But how are we supposed to behave? I always think of Romans 12, Romans 13 too, but and other places, but Romans 12. Let love be without hypocrisy, beginning in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, how should we behave? We need more grace, more mercy, more kindness. I keep thinking of the commandment, you know, the Ten Commandments. The commandment with regard to truth-telling, so to speak, is not thou shalt not lie, so to speak. It's Exodus 20:16. You shall not bear false witness, which is a very interesting concept worth pondering sometime, if you will. Anyway, Romans 12, beginning of verse 9, how should we behave in America? I think we need to behave like this. This should be our new motto and slogan. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Really? Bless those who persecute you? Bless and do not curse? Wow. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That really is, I mean, that kind of sums it all up right there. And I think, again, we would do well to just kind of ruminate on those concepts. That really, I think, just kind of sums it up. Anyway, I mentioned the phone lines are open. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Wes in Idaho. Wes, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Wes. Good morning.
I met Michael Hoffman in Pilgrim's grocery store the other day and talked to him for a while. We talked about 10 minutes over what I had in my cart. I guess that was prominent. You know, Michael Hoffman. I remember reading author. He's kind
well,
of
well, no, no, no. I was gonna say what. Not contemporary, but what mainstream society, I guess, if you want to call it that, would call a Holocaust denier, Michael Hoffman.
Yeah.
That Michael Hoffman, yeah.
Oh, most certainly. In fact, that was what I wanted to get around to talk about. Oh, by the way, I also met Bill there occasionally at the Pilgrims. He always had his cell phone with him. He could not part with his cell phone. I was wondering if he'd perhaps died of a brain cancer, probably. Anyway, back to Michael Hoffman.
I think he just wore out.
Many years ago, like 35 years ago, I read his book on the great Holocaust trial of Zundel in Canada. And it was at the time when I was just getting things straightened out. You know, when I found out that the Jews had lied about this period in history, I don't think
that's fair. I don't think that's fair to say, because you go back to, you know, there are folks that have pointed out that even before the nation of Israel rose to prominence or whatever, you know, back before the turn of the century, that number 6 million was being published in mainstream press. So where did that come from? It wasn't the Jews. It was part of the political Zionist side of this contrived conflict.
Well, it was a lie in World War One. I understand that they were beginning the rumor of 6 million Jews. It's partly is because it's religious, I guess. Somewhere in their Talmud, somewhere in their Kabbalah, 6 million is a prominent number, but neither in World War One or World War Two. In fact, in World War Two, there was never one, not one Jew that was gassed to death, homicidal gas. None of them were turned into soap. None of them were turned into lampshades. What were work centers, you know, what they call death camps? The death camps actually had brothels, hospitals, libraries, offices where they could come in, make complaints. They had courtrooms. The Barnes Review, a number of years ago, 6-8 years ago, they did an entire special, 100 pages on the whole hoax. And the front page had a script, money. They were actually, the people that were working at the camps were actually paid. They actually paid script. Now, they could only spend it at the camp, but it was well engraved. You know, Germans know how to do things. It was every bit as good as our Federal Reserve note as far as art. But the point is, you're going to take somebody to a execution camp and have money to pay them for their work? Getting around to what I'm really, really upset about. Now, I helped Donald Trump somewhat get into office. And here just the other day, he spent an entire half hour at what I see is a religious ceremony, a synagogue. They had a cantor. They had a man singing. And it was all about, oh, my, 6 million Jews. We can't have anybody like Michael Hoffman or Wes out there in Idaho. We have to throw them in jail, like Ernst Zundel or Fred Loyster or Gunnar Rudolph or Sylvia Stoltz or Frederick Tobin. You know, every one of these people, I believe, spent time in jail for what? For questioning whether 6 million Jews actually died or not. And you know, David Cole, you can see his tour to Auschwitz. He took a camera. He's actually a Jew, and he's showing, hey, we got glass windows in this building that they claim is a homicidal gas chamber. We got a wooden door that leaks air. We got a drain that goes out to the street in this place they call a homicidal gas chamber. We have the USSR coming in after they wouldn't even allow anyone else to come in for a time, and they built a chimney behind this building. They claimed to be a homicidal gas chamber, and this chimney has no firebox on the bottom. It was built to make people believe, now we walk by this building, oh, there's the chimney where millions of poor, innocent Jews went up in smoke. One of the big impressions made a big impression on me back then, I read Michael Hoffman's book about the Great Holocaust Trial, and there was Arnold Friedman, and he claimed to have been a Holocaust survivor. He was at Auschwitz, and he could tell the ethnicity of the Jew being burned that day by the color of the smoke. When I read that back in 1985, 1986, I rolled on the floor in laughter, and it was like the dam broke. Never, ever, ever again would I be made to feel guilty about what was said the German people did to the Jews in World War II. They do it all the time. John 8:44, what has Jesus said? You are your father, the devil, and you will lie just like your father, the devil. I want to point out another thing. It's The Jews Stupid, a new book by Vincent Bertolini. Are you familiar with that? You know who I'm talking about, Bertolini? Boy, what a book. I was surprised to find it on Amazon. I thought Amazon was shutting down everything. In fact, I even found Michael Hoffman's book on the Great Holocaust Trial. It's still on Amazon. I don't understand Jim Fetzer, they've taken his books off, and one book is quite important. He has worked with a guy named Kohlerstrom. Kohlerstrom is an Englishman, and he went into the English records, and of course, the Americans and the English figured out the code that the Nazis and the Germans were using, the Enigma machine. So they knew perfectly well of the conversations that were going on between the high command and the work camps. And never more evidence. I mean, we already have a ton of evidence, but more evidence that even though
we're headed into a break. And I said it was a rant day, and you certainly have taken that and run with it for sure. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprise 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Broadcast. Wes, you raised some provocative points. I would only add, perhaps, that I think, as the expression goes, the devil is in the details. I think the truth is in the details in this case. I've actually met people that spent time in that environment. I have seen the numbers that were tattooed on them, and I've heard stories, firsthand accounts, and I think that, again, as I mentioned earlier, both sides of that conflict have been polarized and drawn apart, and the facts have been lost in the fight or the feud, so to speak. And I think that's unfortunate. I think we all need to kind of join together in the fashion that I advocated, that Romans 12 speaks to. Anyway, I appreciate your call, Wes, and as always, very thought-provoking points. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Paul in New Jersey. Paul, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Paul.
Hello,
you there, Paul? Hey,
yeah.
Paul.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I don't get any agita about not uniting. I really don't.
You what?
At this stage of the game, because America is no longer the America I was brought up with. You know, when I was born in 1959, and I didn't get a chance to vote against the Immigration Act of 1965 or 64 that opened the borders to third world immigrants. And so, you know, the demographics of the immigration wave since then have further made me into an angry, soon-to-be minority that never really asked for diversity. I didn't want it. I didn't get a chance to vote on it. And I'm not going to go unite with the people they imported to push my wages down, crowd my cities, and lower my standard of living. Sorry. I'll be civil, But deep down inside, I'd like to see them all deported if I could. You know, and I remind people that when they decry the Muslim wave of terrorism, don't blame the Nazis for that or the Klansmen. They didn't do it. They warned the diversity promoters and acceptors all along that with diversity comes the inability to unite, social strife, tension, etc. And I plan on getting around to read Robert Putnam's book, you know, Bowling Alone, concerning that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what I see happening anyway, is, you know, what do we want out of this? Do we want a totalitarian state that forces to love diversity? Because actually, that's kind of what we see happening, but it's got a velvet glove on now. You know, we see the media haranguing us. We see the imagery that they push on us in advertisement in Hollywood. We even see barren actresses like Charlize Theron and Sandra Bullock, you know, adopting African babies as part of either trying to get more work or to push that agenda further of, again, diversity being great, you should all love it, oh, it's so much better now. You know, Geraldo Rivera, I remember years ago putting down Idaho because he didn't like it because it wasn't diverse enough for him. And so, you know, but my point is, I like being homogenous. I like fewer differences. It makes me feel like I fit in well in a white city where I'm just another white guy and I'm mixing it up with white people. I'm sorry, I feel more comfortable that way. And mm-hmm. I don't, and you know, you can coerce me and say, you should go out and make friends with minorities. And my point is, I don't have to. It's my choice. I'm free to, you know, sulk about the loss of my majority white nation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And ultimately, that's what I do. You know, I'm not happy what's happening in Europe. And
I don't know.
The Japanese.
I would call it sulking, though. I would call it lamenting. But I'm not you, so that would be my speculation. Anyway, we're headed into a break, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. And we're on the phones. We have Paul in New Jersey on the phone. Hey, Paul, what's with the hate speech? Why are you such a bigeted racist?
Well, you know why? It's because I...
I'm kidding.
No, I don't mind it. I'll tell you why. Because I have respect for culture. And let me explain something. Let's say I love Japan, okay? And I somehow emigrate to Japan and foist my big, hairy, white guy upon the Japanese people, right, if they were dumb enough to accept me as an immigrant, right? Me doing that, you know, undermines what Japan is. No, Japan isn't just their buildings. It's not their language. It's the genetic stock. It's their people. It's their race. And you can't replace, a Japanese statue with a statue of me there and call it Japan. No. It destroyed the origin and the meaning and the cultural history of Japan, the racial history.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of what's happening in Europe with the Islamification. I think it happens with all these mass migrations of people. The difference difference is I have respect for these cultures. I have respect for Japan, that I know that if I go there, I'm lessening Japan. I'm wrecking Japan. But these migrants have the audacity to think, like the Muslims, to convert the churches into mosques, to destroy, ultimately, to destroy the statues in Europe, because that's what will happen if the radical Wahhabis do take over Europe. They destroy statues.
Well, it's a social virus. Wahhabism and Salafism is a social virus. It's been used. I mean, it was perhaps the central tool in the Balkanization of the Ottoman Empire. So that is, I think, one of the most salient points that we could observe over the last couple hundred years. And, you know, when the CIA is leaning on the social virus of Salafism, I think that should be deeply troubling to the American people. If we really understand what's going on there and how it's, as you said, I mean, it's kind of spreading now toward the West, and that not by accident or coincidence, that by design. So, you know.
And there's lots of factors behind it, you know.
Sure, but I think the most provocative thing that we can observe in all of that is, you know, when you talk about the influx of migrants or refugees or whatever, as you know they're generally referred to these days, everyone is playing their role on the grand stage, and most people don't even know they're doing it. This, what we're kind of discussing now, is what Kelly Greenhill dubbed coercive engineered migration. Gerda Coleman wrote a great series, 11-article series on the subject. It's fantastic, and he understands it, I think, as well as anyone, and put it in simple terms. But, you know, I was kidding at the outset of this segment, but it, you know, it's not funny, and it's both sad and outrageous. As you know, we all are. You are certainly entitled to your own opinion, in spite of the Marxist counterculture, social justice warrior, revolutionaries bullying and their attempts to cow and geld dissenting voices. But people are playing their roles without knowing it, I think. Even the SJWs, they don't realize that they're conned in precisely the fashion that Huckabee alluded to. And I always bring up that speech that he gave, his foreign policy speech back on his campaign trail in his bid for the presidency 10 years ago, when he said, he was talking about overseas. He said, so it's couched, you know, overseas, beside the threat of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, he said, we face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up in the Islamic world and overthrowing their governments. But it's the same problem here. The world is facing the same problem. And where is this coming from? But continuing, he said, to create havoc in the world. And do we see havoc? How is it happening? Just like this. He said, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is a spark, but the underclass is the fuel. Strong middle class is the firewall. So the middle class in America has been eviscerated largely. And now we have the intellectual class bullying the underclass, so to speak, in kind of Marxist, Alinskyite, stir them up fashion. You know, goad them just to get them moving and agitated, and propagandizing people while doing it, and getting people to kind of play their role, and we're certainly doing that in America. And I think if we could step back and look at the bigger picture, even those migrants don't really know. I mean, it's not like most of them, the vast majority of them, have some kind of agenda. They just want to live a nice life. And to your point, I think Jefferson's words are apropos. In 1793, he wrote, America is now, I think, the only country of tranquility and should be the asylum of all those who wish to avoid the scenes which have crushed our friends in other lands. But To clarify, in 1801, he wrote, "Shall we refuse the unhappy fugitives from distress that hospitality which the savages, quote unquote, of the wilderness extended to our fathers arriving in this land? Shall oppressed humanity find no asylum on this globe? The Constitution indeed has wisely provided that for admission to certain offices of important trust, a residence shall be required, but might not the general character and capabilities of a citizen be safely communicated to everyone manifesting a bona fide purpose of embarking his life and fortunes permanently with us?" And to clarify further, going back a ways, he said, "Is rapid population growth by as great importations of foreigners as possible founded in good policy? Course of engineered migration?" As Kelly Greenhill calls it, he said, "They will bring with them," to your point, Paul, the principles of the government they leave, imbibed in their early youth, or if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing, as is usual, from one extreme to another. It would be a miracle, Jefferson wrote, were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. These principles, with their language, they will transmit to their children in proportion. And you know, folks have talked about the Muslim influx in particular. Everyone wants to talk about that and how they don't assimilate. Well, Jefferson spoke to that a couple hundred years ago. These principles, with their language, they will transmit to their children in proportion to their number. They will share with us the legislation. They will infuse into it their spirit, warp and bias its direction, and render it a heterogeneous, incoherent, distracted mass. If they come of themselves, they are entitled to all the rights of citizenship, but I doubt the expediency of inviting them by extraordinary encouragements. And so, I mean, to your point, Jefferson stated this, but again, if we take a step back...
No, but at the time, remember, the 1790 Naturalization Act only admitted white people of good character.
Right.
So and they were all from Western Europe. They didn't really accept Catholics until later. So you could see, you know, he's talking from a different angle. No way would he have conceived of bringing in what they used to call the muscle man. Remember?
Well, exactly. Those last remarks were actually from his notes on Virginia back in 1782.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the point is just simply to say, you know, if we take a step back, I think the more provocative irony is, even if we would say that the folks, the influx coming in, you know, we adhere to the Jeffersonian principles, you know, aforementioned. And if we were to do that, What would Americanism, so to speak, look like? Even Americans don't know. And getting back to my point in the first hour, the conversation I had yesterday is illustrative of so many other conversations. I'm sure you have them. Other listeners have them. You talk to folks, and they pride themselves on their ignorance, essentially. You know, you talk to them, and they say, you know, who are you? What do you believe? Or whatever. And you start talking, and they say, you know, I don't know anything about that, but I know all of these characters on a TV show or other worthless information. And so what is Americanism? What does it look like? No one knows. We're not generally acquainted with our founding documents. We don't know who our elected public officials are. It's a travesty. So is it shame on the migrants, or is it shame on us?
There are unifying things in America, you know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That get people to assimilate, and you mentioned one. It's the media, because that's what everybody does. They sit their kids down and they watch Nickelodeon, right? That's the first thing. Second is a love of money and the concept of get money and get rich. That's a very unifying principle in the United States, you know, and getting people to assimilate. That is the common language in this country.
Perceived as money anyway, sure. And, you know, you can do it by whatever deceptive means, especially if you're part of the power elite, as C. Wright Mills put it. But, you know, you can't – I mean, I think the people that go out and sell drugs on the street are more honest, so to speak, about their ill-gotten gain, their sordid gain, than, you know, the folks on Wall Street, for example. Not to, you know, vilify too many too broadly, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, we're told, like you said, that's the game. Go out and get as much as you can. Get all you can all you get. And folks that just go out and do it, you know, in a very overtly evil sort of way, I mean, hey, you know, that's more honest than being deceptive and presenting it through a white-collared lens.
But in the long term, with the demographics of these migrants, the Asians generally vote Democratic. You know, the Mexicans, majority Democratic. So you see, I think even the Muslims, majority are going to vote majority Democratic. So it works out for them. And even some of the groups, so what's ironic among Asians is that they make more money per capita than whites do. And yet, and they get taxed more because they make more money. And yet, they vote for Democrat because of identity issues, I would argue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's all these vying identities in this, you know, hodgepodge, this melting pot. And it doesn't work out well for us. And that's my issue. I see it. It's like a lifeboat. I'm the first guy on the lifeboat. And I don't want other people coming on the lifeboat. Sorry. Fix your problems in your home country. But I've been we've been drowned and we've been displaced and soon to be likely dispossessed. Especially if the growing Stalinization, cultural Stalinization, continues. You know, and you, when you called me a racist in the beginning, that's what I am going to get used to.
Well,
you know,
because
if you resist it,
I hope, yeah.
No, but that's the language they use. You know, if you resist this demographic wave, and you're a white guy, you're a racist. And so,
but that's part of my
point.
Who are they, and where did they get that language? Because it's not an organic outgrowth of our culture. It was given to them, obviously.
Well, no, you know, but it's organic to them. Listen, it's kind of like during the first LA riots, remember? And the Koreans were outraged that Korean store owners within the United States were being, their stores were being looted, remember? And then further, even just 2 weeks ago when that Asian guy was dragged off that United plane, people in Asian countries were horrified. And that is part of the problems of diversity. You're going to always have, no matter how assimilated you are, if you're Asian, Asian people will see you as racially their cousin, even though you're as apple pie as you can be, and you did fully assimilate. So that will always tear away and undermine any sense of social cohesion in this country.
Which is exactly why I read Jefferson's words, absolutely.
Yeah, and in a sense, and that's a little fact on spying, the number two largest groups for spying in America are Israelis and Chinese, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so I just see this as complicating such what could be a much simpler, emptier America, less gross domestic product, less hopefully meddling if we whites had listened to the Klansmen, listened to the Nazis back in the 60s and stuck to our American traditions and had our population growth as Washington wanted through natural increase, we wouldn't be importing this strife. And it's all imported. It's all new. And the way things seem, big business wants to continue full steam ahead. The politicians want full steam ahead. So ultimately, it's going to end towards more strife. And eventually, you know, we're going to see whites and even, who's that guy, Richard Spencer? He talks about it, you know, the Northwest movement, where there's going to be whites wanting to secede because, and there will be a racial component to it, you know, kind of like in Northern California.
It's all contrived. I mean, again, you get back to the basic talking points, you know, all of those, you know, those talking points are, I would call them synthetic. They're given to folks. And again, in America, I mean, so you say, you know, who are we? What are we about? Like you said, you know, a group that wants to secede. And I think secession is, again, a synthetic talking point that gets interjected into the conversation every once in a while for specific reasons. But, you know, you ask folks, who are we? What does it mean to be American? Who can say? which is a sad state of affairs.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
One more quote and then a question. Jefferson, 1817, although as to other foreigners, it is thought better to discourage their settling together in large masses, wherein, as in our German settlements, they preserve for a long time their own languages, habits, and principles of government. But you know what? We're adopting that now. We like the German style. Just kidding. You know, you go back to the folks that Hayek cited as being responsible for the rise of bad things in Germany. We actually have embraced those in America, but I digress. Continuing with Jefferson, and that they should distribute themselves sparsely among the natives for quicker amalgamation, yet English immigrants are without this inconvenience. They differ from us little, but in their principles of government, and most of those merchants accepted, who come here are sufficiently disposed to adopt ours. So to paraphrase Jefferson there, if you don't like it, leave. You can be like us, or if you don't like it, leave. But my question, though, Paul, is, and I'm not being, you know, too crass, I think, or cynical, but honestly, you know, when do we bump into the right of conquest and the administrative fourth branch military-industrial complex force majeure issue? Because the savages, as they were referred to, were here first, too. So what do we do?
Well, the savages were ultimately displaced and put on reservations.
Right.
So
force majeure. Right of conquest.
So their views became irrelevant.
Oh, I'm sorry. Manifest destiny. Sorry.
Yeah. But I just think, you know, it was a European-based civilization we're living in, you know, and it was based on freedom. We have the Constitution. I mean, it's pretty much all wrapped up there. But I see it as that there's got to be a demographic core of a bloodline who is linked, actually genetically, from the founders to really keep the identity and people to identify themselves as Americans as a core supporter of the Constitution. If you take away and just demographic swamp the descendants of the founders, it's over for America. We'll go more and more communist. I think generally the people with the bloodlines going to the founders are going to appreciate their founders more. I mean, if you look like the statues of Washington and Jefferson, you're going to identify more with Washington and Jefferson. Like I said,
well,
the racial
yeah.
element. And I would also argue, how are Hispanics, like Mexican mestizos, going to ever feel assimilated if, or connected to the Constitution, when they look nothing like the founders?
This is a very controversial way to go out into the weekend, but you know, that's fine. I'm reminded of the blue-eyed Jesus and those T-shirts that float around. Homeland Security fighting terrorism since 1492.
Yeah,
it's provocative. It's food for thought, and so I hope that folks will take that away. Anyway, I appreciate your call, Paul. And
all right, sir.
I'll do it for the weekend. But folks, remember, I mean, look higher. We are all propagandized. We're all, I would suggest to you that, or submit to you that we are all playing our role. Let's not play roles. Let's get knowledged up. Have a great weekend.
To another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. This is Friday. It is the 28th of April, and we are joined with Harley Schlanger from Berlin. Welcome back, Harley.
Good evening from Berlin. I know it's not evening there, but good evening.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's 10 a.m. here in the West Coast. We call it the best coast of America. So you've got lots of stuff to cover. There's the Le Pen election coming up Soon, I think it's Sunday after next, we have the Euro debt. You sent me a very interesting article, and I want you to, I don't want you to steal your thunder here. I want you to talk about this debt bomb that's about to explode here in America, but there's debt bombs around the world, too. Lots of things going on, so let's start from the top.
Well, if we want to